Lord, as I do for every week. And what are we going to be doing? We're going to be sharing a message, and I'm just trusting for God for the outworking of His Holy Spirit amongst us. But the message today that I want to bring to you is a message of salvation. And it might not be packaged what you think is a gospel message and just to be born again. I think it's just the complete package that God wants to bring to us. And there's a scripture in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, where we need to look forward to the restoration of all things. And I really believe when Jesus came to earth and he went and he walked and he showed us the kingdom of God, and then when he died on the cross, he brought fulfillment for the kingdom of God. But it didn't stop there. It came with the coming of the Holy Spirit. But even today, over 2,000 years later, we are here today to experience that Jesus finished on the cross. It was a finished work. It was a new covenant. It was an agreement that God made with man, and he comes to bring it by his power today. So I want to say the first step of that restoration is deliverance. God brings deliverance to all of us, and it's a word that we seem to move away from. God wants to deliver us from this world and sin and the working of the evil one. He wants to bring deliverance, and that's part of the package of salvation. And secondly, out of that, there must be an evidence of holiness. You know, in my daily readings, I've been reading about Moses, and Moses was an incredible leader. He really was an incredible leader, and God used him mightily. But there was one time when Moses, when Israel needed water, and he got so cross with them because the Israelites were actually rebelling. And he got so cross, and God said to him, "Speak to the rock," and he didn't speak. He smashed the rock, him and Aaron, and God saw it as rebellion. But the scripture tells us that it says that it wasn't necessarily the rebellion. It says there that God was cross with him and angered with him because he didn't demonstrate God's holiness. And I just really say part of the deliverance that God has for us and the outworking of his salvation is his holiness. And I just love that song that we sang today about God being holy. He wants holiness in our lives. And I really believe today that package that God is, there's an evidence in our lives of his holiness. He has come to live in us. We call the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but there's an evidence that not everything that's working in our lives is holy. And that's where I really believe, because God is holy, he says, "Be holy as I am holy." He wants to deliver us of the stuff that is unholy. Now, it might be thinking, it might be oppression, it might be outworking of darkness. We'll see today as God unveils those things, but I'm really just trusting that God will reveal something of the salvation package that he has for us today. Can we pray first before we get into the depth of this message? Father, we just thank you. You are doing something incredible in the life of Church on the Way. Lord, you're revealing your kingdom and you're revealing yourself. There's revelation and there's wisdom that is abundant here in this place. But today, Lord, I pray that portion that you have for every one of us would be revealed by you, Holy Spirit, that the evidence of the finished work of the cross would be in every one of our lives today. And Lord, I just pray that as you unearth those aspects that are unholy in our lives today, I pray that freedom and liberty would come to every single one of us today. That, Lord, that we can live in this fullness, this abundant life that you have given us. And I pray, Lord, that truth would be a reality in every one of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. We had opportunity end of last year to meet with Kenneth Mashowe. Kenneth Mashowe, if you don't know, is the leader of the ACDP political party and represents the Lord in Parliament. And Kenneth was just sharing of his days where he worked with Reinhard Bonnke as an evangelist, and they were ministering into the DRC in Kinshasa. And that day, he was just looking at these people and he was seeing the degradation, the darkness, and the absolute poverty that was over their lives. And it inflicted upon himself, and he looked at himself and he looked at his color of his skin and he says, "I'm black, they black. Why are they never prospering?" And he went to the Lord and I loved his attitude. He spoke very honestly to the Lord and he said, "Lord, as a black man, am I cursed?" And it was a serious question. And I think sometimes in our question of God, we need to ask those serious questions. And the Lord came back to him and said in his heart, he said, "You're not cursed. But your nations are cursed because you hand your nations over to darkness." And I want to just say that's a reality in our lives. We don't walk in the fullness of this abundant life that God has for us because there are aspects in our life, inadvertently or purposely, we hand our lives over to darkness. And there's an aspect that I think we not always understand these things because, you know, we've come out of the world and we're worldly wise and we're street wise and we understand how the world works, but we don't know how the kingdom of God works. And we don't understand the realm of darkness. We don't understand the realm of Satan and how he works and how he comes to steal, rob, and destroy. And I just really see all of us have a journey to walk of being set free. There are aspects in all of our lives. I look at my own life. There are aspects that even though I've been gloriously saved, and all of you too, I trust, that there's aspects of the enemy comes and he ensnares us and holds us back from the fullness that God has for us. So I bring a message today of salvation. Salvation is not just being born again, but the fullness that God has for us. And I believe Isaiah 61, Jesus declared over himself that day in Nazareth as he opened up the scroll and he said, "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news." And I bring good news to him. But what? To set the captive free, that the blind can see, that the deaf can hear, that this will be the day of the Lord, that glory would come to the Lord. I haven't quoted it exactly. But I want to just say to you, that's the message that I bring to you today. You know, the simplistic view of Christianity is that you get saved and you are born again. Imperative, you must be born again. Jesus said that. And I trust that you are born again and you know that you are born again. We need to be baptized in water, that we have declared to the world that we no longer follow in the world, that we've been redeemed of sin and we're going to follow Jesus. That's why we are baptized in water. It's a new life. And then there needs to be the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues and continually being filled with the Spirit of God. But many people get to that and they think that's the full stop. They think that's the full stop. Christianity is that. I've got my qualifications. I've got my BA and MA, born again, made anew. That's it. I've got my qualifications. I want to say to you, no, 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 no. God wants to take us into the depth of his salvation. He wants us set free from sin and the corruption of the world and Satan. And these issues are power. There's authority in the world. And that's why we get the power of the Holy Spirit to set us free from the power of darkness and the power of sin and the corruption of this world. You know, in Acts 10:38, Jesus went around setting people free that were under the power of the devil. He hasn't stopped doing that. And he wants to do that today. He wants us to be born again. So I want to say to you today is that as we come and we follow the Lord, we're going to go through persecution and we're going to go through hardships. And as soon, I want to just say, I see in my own life, the day that I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, then the pawpaw hit the fan. I'm serious. I never knew about the things of the Spirit before. I was following the Lord and I did my own thing and got up to my stuff and all seemed hunky-dory. And as soon as the power of the Holy Spirit came and the presence of God himself within me became a reality, then the persecution started to come. Then the temptation started to come. Then the oppression and the spiritual conflict came. Then I had to start to rise up and had to learn about these things. So I want to say to you, brother and sister in Christ, when you're following Jesus and you've been filled with his Holy Spirit, and I trust you all have been, you cannot evade the spiritual conflict that is going to come to your life. You see, Jesus dealt with the enemy. When he was filled with the Spirit of God, what was the first thing he did? The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he came up against the enemy for 40 days and 40 nights, and there were some very real things that he needed to overcome. What makes you and I different if Christ is living in you? There's a period in your life, and there are seasons in our life that we need to overcome the power of the devil, and we need to fight. And how did Jesus? And Jesus overcame through Scripture and came through the Word of God, but he took the authority of God's Word and overcame the enemy. Most of us here, a little bit older, men had opportunity to go to the military, and the military trained us and prepared us for war. And war is not a great thing because there's death and there's suffering that comes with it. But when you come into the kingdom of God, you're also at war. You have an enemy that hates you. He is not for you. He's against you, and he's out to destroy you at every turn. And he doesn't care what you believe. He wants to destroy you. And we need to be wisened up about his influence and his demonic authority that he uses in our lives. And we need to identify and know our enemy. And we're going to get into some of that stuff today. How do we identify our enemy? I had the privilege of being part of the intelligence corps, and part of my training was to identify our enemy. And at that time, we were fighting the Russian forces up in Southwest Africa, Namibia into Angola. And we had to identify, and we went on the special course to identify all the equipment that they had, the Stalin organ, the different AK-47s, all the equipment that they had that we identified and knew who they were. It's the same thing when we come to the kingdom of God. I don't think God wants us to walk with a veil, because I want to just say, I think the contemporary church and much of the church has veered away from understanding the enemy. Or you got to the other place where they become so extreme that they all focus on the enemy. We're not about that, but we need to understand who the enemy is. You see, God wants us to have discernment. And discernment is part of the gifting of the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe it's restricted just to leaders. It's for every single one of us as we live life. And we need to have discernment. God wants us to grow in our spiritual senses to know good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 tells us that we need to be discerning. And I want to just say, I believe that gift is so lacking in the church. We don't call upon the name of the Lord and ask him, Lord, let me be discerning about these things. We were, as elders, just talking the other day, and I think Arthur raised the question, how many of you are discerning about when you meet people? And you know, the reality is, not many of us are. We just accept people as face value. And yes, I think we must trust people. We must give people a chance. But I think in our spirits, Jesus was very in tune with what was going on and who was in their hearts. He identified, the Spirit of God revealed to him what were in people's hearts. Not that we're looking to bring condemnation, but we got to know, because God wants to set them free. And we need to operate in that level. So what is the title of my message today? Salvation is your kingdom of God inheritance. Salvation is your kingdom of God inheritance. So I'll use three texts as a start to this. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. We know that we've been dealing with that for some time. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That must be a reality in all our lives. Then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We must experience eternal life, every one of us. And Romans 10:10, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You experience salvation. So contextually, we look at the ministry of Jesus. One remarkable characteristic of the ministry of Jesus from the beginning to the end, that he never made a hard distinction between healing people of sicknesses and delivering them from demons. He saw them as individuals. He wanted them to be set free. And when they came for their healing, God the Holy Spirit had to reveal, was it truly a manifestation of sickness in their body, or was it an authority of darkness that was keeping them impeded with sickness? And Jesus, you see in his life, amazing in his life, in his ministry especially, that how many times he casts out demons. And especially in the area of sickness, when the woman came with a fever, and what did he do? He rebuked the fever, because he could see and he could discern behind the fever was a spur of darkness. And he rebuked it and he took his authority. And Jesus was very, very effective. It says everyone who came to be healed was healed. Everyone. And so I want to encourage us here today is that God wants to work with us too and allow us to come to a place of freedom. I also want to just say as a caution too, not everyone, not everything when someone is sick is a demon. There might be physical things that need to go and see doctors. But can I just say, let's not default first to doctors. Let's go to God first. You know, I want to encourage us we're guilty as a family too. The Bible says, is anyone sick among you, call the elders, and they will anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will make you well. I haven't had a phone call from any of you for a long time. You're not healthy, I know you're not. Because you're going to the doctor and you're taking your pills and stuff like that. I'm not saying don't do that. But we have an opportunity after every Sunday morning meeting. If you are sick, come. Let's trust God. We have got nothing. But the scripture says, come to the elders. They'll anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith, their faith, will make you well. Not your faith, their faith. So elders, you've got some faith to exercise. Eh? I want to encourage you, we've got to do it God's way. So, not everything that causes sickness is of the devil, but a lot of it is. So I want to just say, the church today, the contemporary Western church today, wants to trust God for salvation from sin and the forgiveness of sin and healing. But when it comes to the issue of demons and the outworking of darkness, they have locked down that door. You know, when you go into the African context and into the Asian context, the aspect of the demonic is very real. And the church doesn't vie away from it. They deal with it. And I want to just say, we can't vie away from it also. We need to be trusting God to set people free. You know, working closely with Jenny, she's been doing a lot of counseling with people. And over the last while, when she's been counseling, and counseling is a good thing. But some of the problems in people, that if you don't discern that there's a demonic authority, that person will never be set free. Never set free. And Jenny's had incredible success where the Holy Spirit has revealed some of those aspects and dealt with those issues. Wow! Immediately, freedom has come to those people. So we can't be short-sighted, especially as we want to believe what package of salvation is. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, this was the injunction and the instruction that Jesus gave his disciples. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. It's amazing, the order of the Holy Spirit. He said, didn't say heal every disease and sickness. He said, drive out evil spirits first. So your first, Jesus is saying to them, guys, wake up. Your first call is look for evil spirits. That's the first call. And I'm trying to train you as much as we're going to set you free today. I'm trying to train you when you're praying for the sick and all those things, be aware, this is what the scripture, what Jesus taught his disciples. Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8. He says, as you go and preach this message, here again, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. The Holy Spirit changed at that time. Freely you have received, freely give. And Mark 6, verse 13, they drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. So the challenge today is, my next point is, sickness is a reality in our society. And I want to purport, and I don't have statistics about it, but the medical profession tells us that a large proportion of our diseases and sicknesses that we have in our society are psychosomatic. I want to say that's a sophisticated word for demonic authority. They cannot understand it. They don't know how to work it. But we as the church should know that. There is a reality of physical problems, and when there's heart disease and stuff like that, we need a doctors. And I'm telling you now, we need doctors, and we thank God that God's given doctors an incredible ability to work with us. But in the society that we live in at the moment, especially Johannesburg, where we live, the stress and the tension that takes place in the cares that we have in this world, the doubt, the worry, the fear. I want to tell you, when those doors are opened, I want to say we give opportunity to the evil one to come and oppress our lives. Do you know, Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. If you're an unbeliever, the evil spirits can come into you, but when you're a Christian, they can't, because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. But every one of us, if we inadvertently step incorrectly and open the door, we can be oppressed, every single one of us. And inadvertently, we think we walk in the right track, but these evil spirits can come and attach ourselves to us, and we'll go through some of those things, and that thing can lead you and rob you of your inheritance in Christ. Now, if we do that inadvertently, a lot of us, But I want to just say these are reality. Looking at South Africa today, I want to just say there's a manifest increase of demonic authority in our lives. I remember the early days growing up in South Africa, most people went to church. You know, when it came to Easter and Christmas, most of the churches were full. Today, people know it's a holiday. And I'm telling you now, there's such an outworking of the devil and his authority. We see the growth, not only in worshiping God, but the growth of divorce and homosexual relationships, the outworking of drugs. Drugs is a problem in our nation, folk. It's a major problem. And who's the author of that? The devil himself. He leads people astray. Fornication, theft. Theft is a problem in our nation. Now, I know we've got a lot of poor, but theft, a lot of people that are stealing aren't poor. They're doing it as a living, but it's wrong. Murder, adultery, form of the doors that we open up and we inadvertently don't know about these things, these fortune-telling, palm reading, ancestral worship, big problem in South Africa. Big problem. Our government has a problem with ancestral worship. You need to pray against that. Spiritualism, Satanism, reading your horoscope, you open a door, folk. Don't read that thing. Get rid of that thing out of your house. Black and white magic, witches, sangomas. A lot of the folk that come from a tribal background will still go and look to sangomas for what God or what they think God is saying to them. So I want to just say, what is our inheritance? Jesus said he came to give us eternal life. And I want to just say, Jesus is still the Lord. And Jesus is our Savior and our healer, and he's our deliverer. He set those people free physically 2,000 years ago. He is still doing the same thing today. And he wants us to live in the fullness that he's provided for us through his new covenant and the finished work on the cross. So how do we diagnose some of these problems that we find people are dealing with? So firstly, I want to say, where's the door open to the dark world, to demons coming in? I want to say a lot of it starts in childhood. The curses come into that thing where we Jenny mentioned now, when labels are spoken over us. Schools. I'm telling you, teachers have an incredible responsibility that the words that they speak over kids. You know, we're dealing with stuff even now where teachers get angry, in which they're human, and things happen, and I think kids are naughty at times, but then they speak curses over them. And that thing gets power, and the kids don't know what to do with that thing. They don't know how to bring it to naught. The scripture says that we must bring these things into obedience in Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, go and read that. All these things that are said over us. And you might have been here growing up in life, and there have been incidences in your youth, and people have said things over you, and you're walking in the fruit of that today. You know, when someone might say to you, you will amount to nothing. And you know, you've accepted that. Oh, who am I? And you actually don't see yourself as worthy. And that word actually destroyed. And what comes with that? An authority comes with that and starts to work out in your life. Incidents also we see under our children is not only verbal abuse, but sexual abuse. It's prevalent in our society. Don't wink at it. It's real. It's real in Christian homes. Scary. And people need to be set free from it, because that sexual abuse, God redeems out of that, but that power needs to be broken. You know, one of the greatest things when it comes to that abuse is the imagery that's left in those people's hearts and minds. Those things need to be broken. And God gives us the power to break up that. And many people find themselves in relationships today because of their things in their childhood and never been dealt with, and they are messed up today, and God wants to set them free. And then there are aspects that happen in our lives with trauma, words and incidences that have taken place in our lives. It might be a car accident. I'm just giving you some examples. A hijacking, sudden death in the family, conflict that's taken place that has gone wrong, even happened in the life of the church where there's been relational issues, and that trauma hasn't been dealt with correctly. And what does it do? It inflicts things into your heart. And through that trauma becomes a snare to you, and the evil one uses that and keeps you ensnared going forward in life. And then also wounding. when you get hurt. I was reading a story about a lady that she went through abuse as a child and dealt with it and forgave and had no unforgiveness in her heart. But she had a broken heart. She was hurt. The trauma, the hurt of that thing was still in her heart. She hadn't been healed of that thing. And many of us carry those things. I just sense sometimes, I think some parents have said things over their kids, and we need to go back and break those words that have been spoken. Mom, I want to just say, what your mother said over you, I know you're 81 now, that was a lie from heaven. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Ricky, you're right. A lie from hell. Good one, Nikki. I want to just say that was from the hell itself. That was not a truth, what your mom said over you. And then when you find that you have persistent, intractable problems in life, sometimes it's the strong man, the evil one that is actually working in your life. It can be the occult. It can be outworking of darkness. You know, I want to say depression is a reality in our lives, and some of it is medical, but sometimes can be rooted in the occult. Depression comes into our lives. And I want to just say we need to be examining those things where aspects have been in the past. I don't know if I should say this. My father was a Freemason. I loved him dearly. But let me tell you, Freemasonry is founded in darkness. They take an oath of allegiance and they curse themselves and they curse their families. They don't even know about it. That's how deceptive it is. And they are good men wanting to do good and to help society. But that darkness comes, it doesn't care who you are, it destroys. And I want to just say Freemason needs to be broken. And this aspect, and Mom, we have taken authority over that in our family, and it's not there. And if it's in you, we need to take authority and break that thing. Jenny was just saying, I remember the testimony one day, they were praying for a family and they couldn't get the family set free. And they said, is there anything here? And you know, the Freemasons wear that regalia, that they wear that apron around them. And that apron was down in the basement below where they were praying. When they took authority over that thing, that person was set free. There's a stronghold. You know, we've got to be careful. We've got to be wise when it comes to the things that we live in this world. So the Bible tells us how demons manifest, and from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and how it works in our lives. We see in jealousy, we see in distressing evil, we see it coming through lying, perversiveness, deep sleep, where the enemy starts to work and all of a sudden the people just fall into a deep sleep, heaviness, the outworking of prostitution, and unclean and impure, but foulness. We see that in the Old Testament.